The following podcast of The Bench is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BENCH101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use promo code BENCH101.
The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What is this? Oh, pray for the dead. And the dead will pray for you. What? Nobody died. No.
We gather here today to mourn a team that won 10 games out of 11. Although most
11 out of 12.
11 of 12.
No, 11 of 13, rather.
Yeah, 10 of 11. We'll 11 stick of with 13. The hottest streak they had. Although some would tell you they never did it against a good quarterback.
Yes, all will tell you that. And that streak continues. What a streak it was. And it continued. You know, I was wrong on every single game. I missed every bet. My MyBookie account got shattered, destroyed all its hopes and dreams.
Three first-time starters, Trubisky, Jackson, Watson, 0-for-3, and none played all that well.
No.
The Cowboys won. The road teams were 3-1.
Yep.
This weekend. And what we're left with here in Houston, and we'll do a lot of the Houston wrap-up stuff, is it was just, once again, and it's really not, I mean, it's actually fairly predictable. It's not like you're not really sure on stuff. The secondary, you don't have corners who can cover. You're not fast enough. You know this for an absolute fact. You know that you have to have offensive line help. The Texans have – the problem is you also need running back help probably. And you might need a wide receiver.
You need
receiver
offensive line help. You need defensive back help. You need another wide out. You need running back.
You know what else? You might need an edge rusher. Because I like Duke Ejiofor. I like Ejiofor fine. JJ and Clowney, I guess you got to pay Clowney. He didn't get after the quarterback at all on Saturday.
Nobody did.
JJ did.
The deal, though. They're the best. It is amazing how they went from the worst and Andrew Luck getting hit every play to never getting
like
hit.
Like Rockets defense 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Went from bad to good to immediately. But this is even more
but they've
incredible.
They're the best. He had 18 sacks all year.
Number one. The quarterback gets rid of the ball, and the Texans quarterback hangs on to the ball. You will cut your sacks in half if you get rid of it.
But just the narrative about Andrew Luck just a couple of years ago was he holds on to the ball too long.
Yeah, no, and I think part of that is the coach, and that's why Bill O'Brien, I think, is going to – I don't believe that Bill O'Brien is going to be the offense coordinator and play caller next year. We'll find out. I think he will be out. I'd like to see
Brian Gang walk up and say you're not calling the plays next year.
I think Bill will do it himself.
I don't.
But we'll see. I think that's going to happen.
I don't.
And then the other thing is, I think the other thing is,
and I love everybody. Listen, and they're in the narrative. What is the narrative right now on Bill O'Brien? Honestly, I've heard fire him, and I can't. Everybody, okay, how long? You know, is he going to be the coach now? Yes, he's going to be the coach.
They just signed a five-year
extension. He's going to be the coach, so we can stop all that. But what is the narrative? Everybody wanted him run out of town after three games, right? And deservedly so. They were bad. They were terrible, and a lot of that was on him. But you know, we said, well, Bill O'Brien did a pretty good job. Bill O'Brien did an excellent. When you win 11 of 13 games in the NFL, you got to give the head coach credit. If you're going to give him all the crap, you got to give him the credit too when they win. Now, the problem is that you can't beat anybody that's good. That's the problem. And you know, you're not going to be. Now you've got a first place schedule that you're going to play next year.
The entire time has been like that too.
Yeah, it really has been. He's a lamb killer. And that's fine. And the NFL, a lamb killer. You know what? Every week is tough, and it's the hardest thing in the world to do. I get it. It's the hardest thing in the world to do to win an NFL game, even though one of the two teams wins every week. It's the hardest thing in the NFL, in the world to do, is to win NFL football games. That said, I don't want to give him, you know what, too much credit, but you can't give him too much crap either. You need better football players. Yeah, you can't, your running back can't run for 18 freaking yards. Your quarterback can't lead you in rushing five straight weeks.
They're nowhere close to being where they need to be from a roster standpoint.
No.
People make this mistake of saying, you point out, well, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, and that's true. I mean, you got some guys who can play.
But
the problem is, and Bernardrick McKinney's a good player. You've got some good players, but you are completely, you are so slow at cornerback, and you're not good enough. Like, you need three new corners. And honestly, I think Kevin Johnson's going to be out of football with all the concussion stuff and the physical stuff. I don't think he's going to be a Texan. You're going to have Whitney Mercilus. Frankly, it's kind of, and Whitney's such a great dude, and Whitney was such a good story 2 years ago. Whitney Mercilus this year was an absolute nothing. He had nothing in the tank. He was not. When do you ever remember him having a big game?
And I've seen he's playing out of position. This is on the Texans staff and blah, blah. No, rush the quarterback.
He couldn't rush quarterbacks.
He had one-on-one situations all year long. All year long.
Right.
And you know what you have to do? You have to win one-on-one battles. And he was. What the hell happened to him?
No, it's just not there. He'll be gone. Kareem Jackson. I think you know what? I'm not sure Tyrann Mathieu is back.
I'm not.
How much money are you going to pay for?
Well, here's
Tyrann
the deal:
Matthews?
If Tyrann Mathieu's not back, you keep Kareem as a safety.
Well, here's the other problem: Tyrann Mathieu, when he got stuck in a slot because of injury, he can't cover there. That's why Arizona had to get rid of him, because he can't cover.
Yeah,
he's a freelancing zone slot is what he is, where you let him play in space. And if you want
to, if they promise him though that he'll get back to that, since you know, because of the injuries they were forced to put him there. If they promise him that, I think he liked it here.
I think he liked it just fine. I just don't think you let him control the narrative of what he gets paid. He gets paid what he gets paid, and Kareem's got to go. Just too old, too slow, too old.
Oh, I don't know. I thought Kareem had a good year, and if he moves to safety and actually plays in the position he should be playing.
How many safeties are you going to have? Justin Reed, which one is the safety?
Well, here's the deal. You're not going to pay Kareem out a crazy money.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's not going to get crazy.
I think what Kareem is a very good nickel run defender corner, like a zone corner. If you force him to cover anybody with speed like the Colts, you got to look over at the Colts and say, they added Dontrell Inman, and that completely changed everything, because we already knew T.Y. Hilton was their dad. I didn't realize he had the most yardage per game in a visiting stadium in NFL history.
Mm-mm.
Per game, 133. I didn't know that was an NFL record, but it felt like, yeah, that makes sense.
You know what was funny, though? After that first drive, he really didn't do anything.
No, but they started finding Dontrell Inman, Eric Ebron. I mean, Andrew Luck has really grown as a quarterback. He gets rid of the ball. He spreads it around. This version of Andrew Luck is way better to me than the other version.
Oh, yeah. No, he is.
Because one's built to win at a higher level.
But Marlon Mack is running for 148 yards. What the bleep? How in the bleep are you doing? What the hell with this defense? And I know you're limited. I guess you're limited defensively. We talk about, listen, the commitment that this team has made to the offensive line is, and just like it for quarterback, forever until they drafted Deshaun Watson, they made absolutely, they had two second-round picks and the first overall pick in their first ever year, and that's all they put into the quarterback position. But what do they put in? What have they put into this offensive line? One first-rounder ever. Ever. One first-rounder. That's all they've ever done. On the defensive side of the ball, though, holy crap, the front seven has had, what, eight first-rounders? Are you kidding me? And you can't, and you showed up like that? As bad as the offense was, I'm way more disappointed in the way that defense played on Saturday.
I am too, because you couldn't get rid, and we already knew if you couldn't rush quarterback, your secondary was going to be in trouble. And that's what happened. You know, it slowed down in the second half offensively, but God, Deshaun was awful. And that's going to happen. He had a bad game. He had a rookie game, a bad game, a bad rookie game. And, you know, I don't know what else you can say. It's that's just something that's going to happen. And but he's got to get better in the offseason. He's got to recognize blitzes better. He's got to get rid of the ball better. Did you hear? We'll play some of this. Did you hear? Did you see Steve Smith? I sent you the email.
Yeah, I saw it.
Get after Deshaun. Yeah.
Well,
was not a fan of that stuff. It didn't bother me, to be honest with you.
No, but
Del, bring that up. Pull that up. What I sent you the tweet from the Good Morning Football put out with Steve Smith when he was on their show. Steve Smith was not a fan of Deshaun Watson's constant
first down antics,
first down stuff. Yeah, it's
his
really
celebrations.
Cam Newton. It is what Cam Newton.
It is Cam. Yeah, but everybody's doing it now.
It's the same thing.
Did you see Big Philly do it?
I saw Big Philly do it. Where he stared over at the sideline and then did it because he wins games with his legs. Apparently,
well, he really, really does. Is there any chance? I know Big Philly probably got hit in the mouth and has a mouth problem Big Philly will be making an appearance.
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's all. I was just worried if Big Philly might not be able to make an appearance.
On an unrelated note, I missed the last couple shows. This is our first show together since the Christmas party.
Yeah. You left early.
You were off. Well, not super early.
Well, 10, did he not though?
10:20.
How about if he shows up every once in a while for work? That'd be
how
great.
How is going on hour number four? It was 10:20.
Oh, yeah. Going hour number four. Whatever.
He's like a prima donna now that he's with the Blitz. They work 3 hours a day. So now he's like, oh, guess what? I'm not working on my fourth hour here. Okay.
Yeah, it was bull.
Okay.
It
with his total, number one show, the Blitz.
Total bull crap. But, so I knew my tooth was getting kind of bad, and I had a pain in my jaw, and it was creeping into my ear. I'm like, yeah, and I knew that I had an issue with one of my teeth, and so I reached out on Twitter and said, hey, I want to find a dentist that's closer here than Energy Corridor where I had been, and you know, different people were dentists and said, hey, I've got a practice here in Cypress. Like, I'm not doing that. That's too far. Uh-huh. I'm in Katy, like, too far still. Mm-mm. So one guy who listens to the show, Nick Lowe, sent me in the direction of a dentist who is here closer. And he did a good job. But I woke up in excruciating pain. I'd made that on Wednesday. I made an appointment for 11 o'clock after the show. 4 o'clock, I woke up like, whoo, wow, this is really terrible. And at 4 in the morning, and I texted you guys because I knew I went and found a pain pill that I had from when I'd messed my foot up that I'd never taken. I took it on the air and it got goofy on the air. But I took it, and and it made me pass out, go to sleep, made me feel like I was fine until whatever. I woke up at 7:30 with it was just like the same thing was happening. So I called the doc.
So you had an infection in your ear and your...
Well, it was
in...
It
was infecting your ear and your like neck. And is this some kind of... Yeah, it's some kind of... And is there an STD in the mouth thing going on here? Or what the hell is going on?
It's called nerves, John. What? Nerves move. I don't know if you know
what,
how nerves
do you think
work.
It was a glory hole issue, Del?
I'm all about that glory hole.
So the guy, well, it was in a nerve in my jaw, which went into the ear and the neck and all that stuff. Well, anyway, so for something, I called the dentist, and I thought I was going to just leave a message with the answering service, and then they give you the doctor's cell phone. So I called and left a message. He called me back and said, why don't we get you in now instead of 11? I'm like, yeah, that would be great. Went in there. He's like, yep, you're going to need a root canal, and we're going to have to do crown at the same time and all this stuff. And so he goes, but we can't do it until 3 o'clock, and that's because that's when the nerve specialist gets in. I'm like, or that's when he can do it. I'm like, okay, I've never looked forward more to – this is how bad it was. I couldn't wait to get a root canal. I was like, God, this 3 o'clock can't come fast enough until I actually – until it got there. And I really hate needles in the mouth. I'm not a fan at all. I said, Doc, I need the nitrous. What else can we do? He's like, well, if you're going to be able to drive by yourself, you can't really take Valium. We could give you a Valium. I'm like, okay, just put the nitrous up as high as you can and let's go. Man, they had to shoot me up 3 times in a mouth to numb the whole entire spot. At one point, they were in the jaw. Like, you know how you can't feel it, but you can feel your head being yanked around? And this was so bad. The funniest thing.
I really don't know that. How you can't feel it, but you can feel your head being. I don't know that feeling that you're talking about right now.
I'm all about that glory hole.
There's something about that's what happens something when going on there.
The needle was
far. No, I don't know what you mean.
The needle was so far into the skull. And when the doc, I said, you know, I'm all numbed up. You can't really feel too much. I said, but the whole left side, it's like I have Bell's palsy. The left side of my face can't work. I said, we're going to work tomorrow. I think he listens or used to listen to the show. I said, we're going to work tomorrow. He goes, I know right now you feel like you're going to be able to work. He said, when the numbing stuff wears off, you had tremendous trauma. I don't like the phrase trauma in my mouth. And that's what they said. That's what he said. You had tremendous trauma in your mouth.
Maybe if you used Quip, you wouldn't have all this.
I
was sticking it in my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have a Quip, but a commercial here. But I can tell you this. He was 100% right. When that sucker wore off, I became Tiger Woods.
Right.
I couldn't get to the Percocet fast enough.
Well, I've got a different kind of spot to do right here.
Percocet. Molly Percocet. I'm going to say this.
It's not a Molly Percocet spot.
The makers of Percocet did a damn fine job of building a medicine that works effectively. I also can see why all of Iowa is ravaged in oxy addiction.
Because it's fun. Well, not fun. It's not. There's nothing fun about that.
It does give you a little sense of euphoria.
It does. I guess that
in the first
that it
45
would.
Minutes, you get the euphoria.
You know what else gives you a sense of euphoria? ForHims.com/John5. ForHims. You want to talk about euphoria?
You know
way better than Percocet, Molly's, anything.
You know what I didn't need when I was in the midst of...
ForHims.com?
Yeah, that wasn't even really a thought of doing that.
You don't think that ForHims.com would have been a good choice for you, okay? Are you kidding me? This is what you needed. ForHims.com/John5. Because if you're looking for a great way to get rid of that ED issue that you might be having right now. ForHims.com/John5. ForHims.com/John5. The peeps over there are awesome. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to go online. You're going to talk to a doctor online, right? You type to him, whatever. All that awkwardness that you're facing a doctor face-to-face, all that stuff, don't worry about. All that waiting in the waiting room, don't worry about that. All that big payment that you have to make to the doctor and for the prescription, don't worry about that. It's $5. $5 for the first month. That's it. And then after that, it's so easy and affordable as well because you're getting the generic form as opposed to the hundreds and hundreds of dollars that you'd be paying for that prescription for the blue pill or that yellow pill. So what you need to do is go to ForHims.com/John5 and start this process. So easy. Right now, ForHims.com/John5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
DJ Lockdown says, while you're out with your mouth, it wasn't a mouth disease.
It kind of was.
It wasn't a mouth disease. It was just called an infected tooth.
STDs or something.
Did any listeners check in with you and send nice notes of encouragement?
Yes. All those mouth pictures that you got.
Terrible pictures.
Oh my God, the one that was, I mean.
And here's the thing.
That was someone's mouth. Did you see how gross that was?
You act like that one.
No, well, a lot of them. Well, a lot of them were just one tooth.
So I was, yeah, that's not as bad. It was, it's the real like terrible mouth stuff. So I didn't look at my phone for quite a while during all the procedure, and then when I pulled it up, that's what I
That's fun.
That's what I woke up to. Like, oh, this is great. This is good stuff.
Talking heads on sports now use narrative like their high school English teacher dared them. David, that's, I guess, the best way to, I mean, what else is
talking point?
Well, what, okay, and again, I don't think we answered it. What is the narrative right now on Bill O'Brien?
It's real. The narrative, well, you know why narrative is a big deal now? Because Twitter has turned into this big megaphone, 24-hour sports shows, multiple talking head shows / opinion shows. And Twitter, which is nothing but loud opinions, has turned it into people get on. This is why narrative matters, because I think it's clear right now. You got it. Cornerback has to be a big priority. And everyone else, are you kidding? They couldn't score any points the offensive line. Mm. That's a classic example of the offensive line narrative has taken over for some people, and they just can't get off of
well,
it.
Well,
it's blinders.
And you can't go by Twitter, because those are people that just complain, and it's a small percentage of the actual. But I believe that the public, and I don't want to say fanboys, but there are a lot of people that are just fans that want to like their team and aren't nearly as negative as a lot of people are. And yet I do believe that the narrative, the real narrative of Bill O'Brien, it's negative.
Yes.
I do believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, because like James Harden, we've been, and the media has been awfully critical of him because of his elimination. Rockets fans love and adore James Harden.
Right.
I mean, they were screaming, they were chanting MVP for him after game five against San Antonio, when he just didn't show up at all, and they lose and it's done.
But I mean, he has been MVP. He's been close to MVP. Yes. He's been MVP. The Texans have not had that level of success. I don't think people like Bill O'Brien and his personality and stuff like that, but I get that. I certainly get that. But my big problem is less with that stuff and more with the stuff we saw Saturday. He got his ass worked by Frank Reich. Frank Reich worked him in back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Reich came out with a game plan. You know what Frank Reich didn't do was get cute. He knew we can torture this secondary. Mm. We're gonna throw it, and once we get a lead, we're gonna run it. And they knew what they were gonna do, and the Texans were ill-prepared to stop it. And I don't know if it's game plan or what. I just know this. The better team, not only did the better team win on Saturday, right now I am nervous for how the Texans match up with the Colts in the future, because they don't have the speed to match up with them right now. The Colts are getting Deion Kane, who a lot of people won't even know much about Deion Kane. You know
from
him,
Clemson.
Deion Kane can freaking ball. Yeah. I thought Deion Kane had first-round ability. He fell because he's got some knucklehead in him. But I remember Ballard telling me at camp, he's like, he might be our best receiver, better than T.Y. Hilton. It's like, this guy's unbelievable. Well, then he tore his ACL. And so he's coming back as a new player next year.
You think he is. You don't know after a torn ACL.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I don't know how how did the Colts fix their offensive line by drafting here's what they did. They drafted a Hall of Fame left guard who's already an All-Pro in his rookie season. They drafted a right tackle who... he was a guard at Auburn. I didn't think he could be a right tackle, but Braden Smith has done a really good job at right tackle. He was shutting J.J. down at different times. And then they added a guy off the scrap heap, Mark Glowinski, at right guard. And now all of a sudden, they had already drafted Ryan Kelly, right, in the first round. Joe Costanzo, they got back from injury. Now all of a sudden, they've got the most formidable offensive line in football?
Again.
In 1 year?
Yeah, in 1 year. But look what they did, though. They made a commitment to it. A Costanzo, a Kelly,
but Costanzo was Nelson. Years ago. Kelly was 3 years ago, Nelson was the sixth pick of the draft.
Yes,
and Braden was what, third rounder at right tackle? The Texans have done that stuff before.
What, third, fourth, seventh? They had Derek Newton for years with a seventh rounder.
No, I'm with you. You need both. You need both tackles. I don't think you're going to get both tackles in a draft. There's not enough draft picks to handle your corners and all your offensive lines in just the offense. And just your free agency is going to have to play into the Texans offseason.
Okay, so it was so Steve says it was so frustrating this past weekend watching the other playoff teams be prepared and have solid game plans in place. And then there were the Texans. I would have to wholeheartedly disagree with you. Did you see Baltimore? Baltimore was hapless.
Yeah.
Their young quarterback was hapless. The Seattle Seahawks continued to run the ball with absolutely no effectiveness.
No.
And should have thrown. They should, Russell. You know what? They were, because all year long, they ran the ball, and that's how they got to the playoffs, and that's fine. You know what? That's wonderful. But they were 10-6. They changed the way that they went about it this year. But when you go into a game like that and it ain't working, you've got to adjust. They didn't adjust. They continued to run the football against the Cowboys. And the Chicago Bears were inept all the entire game offensively, yet they should have won. All right, rank right now, Dell, you included. Let's rank the quarterback play from this weekend. The eight teams. Who was the best quarterback?
The worst quarterback?
The best.
Oh, the best would be
Philly?
Dak. He threw a couple picks. One in a bad one. A bad one in the red zone.
Andrew Luck.
Luck.
I'd go Luck one.
I think I'd make Dak two.
He
actually did nothing in the second half.
I'd make Philly two, because he made plays with his feet, believe it or not. I'd make Dak three.
Oh, you mean Philly? I thought you meant the quarterback for Philly, not Philip Rivers.
Rivers. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no,
Rivers.
I thought you meant Nick Foles. I meant Big Philly. I might go Big Philly first.
Would you?
Yeah. But Andrew Luck did relatively nothing in the second half.
I think he was just managing, just being game manager in the second half.
Philip Rivers threw for 160 yards. I get it. Baltimore's really good.
Baltimore's really good.
I wouldn't make him.
He was facing Baltimore's defense as opposed to the Texans.
No, right. But he was. I would put Philly ahead.
But
of
I had
Luck.
Dak at one. I'm not arguing Andrew Luck.
I think Dak,
I have Dak at one.
You have Dak at one.
Dak's in the top three of this weekend for sure.
You got Dak one.
I got probably
Lamar Jackson is last.
Well, Lamar Jackson or Deshaun.
I mean, are we going to not rank Russell Wilson because he lost?
I'm going to put Russell Wilson at five.
No, Russell Wilson played a good game.
Yeah. I mean, at four. And then I'm going to put, you know what?
Trubisky is third to last.
Well, yeah, Trubisky had a nice fourth quarter. He wasn't really good throughout, but he had a nice fourth quarter.
Nick Foles was not, good.
Wait a minute. Lamar Jackson, while for three quarters terrible, he brought him back in the fourth quarter with two touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
But
the running right and throwing it, and it miraculously, so many missed times to jump.
He completed it.
That's a miracle. That's the same kind of stuff that got Joe Flacco paid $100 million when what's his name, the former Texan safety that they busted on to.
Well, at least
Raheem Moore. Remember when he missed time to jump, and all of a sudden Joe Flacco got $100 million?
Right.
And like, if the Ravens fans, in hindsight, they're probably thinking, well, that's a Super Bowl. You know, you don't get a chance. I mean, you win a Super Bowl, and your punishment is giving Joe Flacco $100 million, which he, you know, you didn't want to have to do. But Raheem Moore, hey, so the Texans missed on Aaron Colvin, right? That was a miss. He was
a healthy scratch
in a game against a passing quarterback. That is an admission that we missed on Aaron Colvin. Aaron Colvin he's got millions that are still left. So I don't know what's going to happen there. I guess they have to hang on to him or take a cap hit by cutting him. But Aaron Colvin was a miss. Raheem Moore was a miss. It was different. Brian Gain wasn't here, but it's an organization that missed on Raheem Moore. He was a one-year miss. Ed Reed, a one-year miss. Aaron Colvin, a one-year miss. The last, Matthew was not a miss. So your last four free agency pickups, Matthew, Moore, Colvin, Reed, three of the four, massive miss. You missed in the first year. You missed halfway through the season you knew you missed. On Reed, Moore, and Colvin.
Yeah.
You knew halfway through the season that you missed?
Did you miss on Colvin because of that ankle injury?
I don't know.
Bill O'Brien just was. Bill O'Brien is nice and is a player's guy. His quote was, "I don't know that he ever really recovered from the ankle." And you know what? You got to give him. Maybe he did. If he couldn't run,
maybe not. I can tell you this.
It's not like he was blazing speed.
No, he wasn't.
He was a slot corner anyway, at best. He was more a zone guy than anything. 7:30 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. You got comments about that? Huge, huge trade by the Astros we got to get to, all right? That. James' shot was flat. We haven't gotten to that. And HBO came out with a preview of Game of Thrones.
Well, it was all their shows.
Yeah, I know, but 2019, I saw...
You got to see a tiny snippet.
I saw The Mother of Dragons, okay? Got me a little bit excited, Del.
I'm right not here. Watching any previews. Want to go in blind.
Okay.
So right we're here. In April,
well,
right?
Sansa.
It comes out in April?
I thought it was... Is it April or July? I don't... Maybe it's April. I don't know.
No, I think you're right. I think it is July.
Sansa and the Mother of Dragons got together. Are men being... Are all of us now the Unsullied in Game of Thrones?
Oh, there's no question.
Are you saying that Sansa's now cucking her own... Well, uncle, look, I guess. She's not... It's not her brother.
Sansa,
her uncle?
Sansa, Cersei, Reek's sister. And Reek doesn't even have a wang.
Mm-hmm.
You got
neither do
Arya.
Do they want to take all of the...
Look, are you...
All of the
are
junk
you,
out of this?
Do you have a problem with... I don't even see it, so I don't even know exactly what you're talking about.
Is there a new movement going to go
it.
On?
Us you two? See I haven't seen it.
Us two?
That... Are you... You have a...
Oh, you watched Game of Thrones last year.
No, I'm saying I haven't seen what he's talking about with Sansa and the Mother of Dragons.
I haven't seen that.
Would you have a problem with that as opposed to her and Jon Snow?
Well, no. They weren't doing that.
Oh, then what are you talking about?
No, just taking over the whole show.
They were just talking.
Just taking over the whole show.
No, they were just talking like they're the boss. They become boss.
She kind of is the boss, but they both kind of are.
The five families are all run by the women on Game of Thrones.
Okay, better show. The Godfather, which is the five families all men, or Game of Thrones, which is the five families are all
well,
women.
Well, in The Godfather, they talk about how they don't want to sell to the we sell to those. No, they say we don't sell to our people, we sell to those people. So I'm going to take Game of Thrones because I've never heard the all words right. they use on The Godfather.
Okay, listen.
And they have dragons in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, there's no dragons in Godfather. That sucks. If you don't have dragons or little people, then I think
your
show sucks.
Yeah.
All right, 7:33, ESPN 97.5. The ashes fell like snow.
Man, it was tough. But, you know, I'm not going to walk off that field with my head down. I'm going to keep my chin up, you know, keep my heart, light and warm, and just make sure that, you know, I remember this moment and, you know, go to work this offseason and, you know, God willing, you know, have another opportunity next year.
All right, welcome back. That was Deshaun. There's a quote from Deshaun that was a little bit troubling. I think it was Barry Warner asked him, why were you so inaccurate in the game? Del, can you see if you can find that one? I had to do it during the middle of the show and put you on the spot there. But he was asked after the game, why were you so inaccurate? And he blamed the offensive line. He said, well, you don't get protection. You can't step into the throws. Nobody can step into the throws.
That's what he said?
Yeah.
He had some basic throw. Oh, that's no good.
That's not good.
You don't sell the guy. If you're going to be the dude on a team, you take more than your fair share of heat just to protect other people.
Yeah.
But Deshaun sucked. I mean, what is he talking about?
Deshaun Livingston Watson, why in the world did you not?
Deshaun had throws. Now, he didn't step into them. But Deshaun had throws he needs to make. He was short hopping stuff. Like, it was
no,
bad.
No, it was bad.
It was really,
wasn't
really
nearly
bad.
Wasn't nearly Lamar Jackson bad.
No.
But it was bad. And he missed throws. Oh, my God, the Ryan Griffin throw. Holy crap. That was just. Now, in defense. Vincent Smith catches that first ball, and it could be, it's maybe a different game. He catches that first ball. Nuke had one that was batted away, that was defended okay, pretty good. But Vincent Smith had one in his hands. Now he's turning and flying in the air and doing all kinds of stuff, but it hits him right in the chest. It was a good ball. Ryan Griffin running free up the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
On that post corner was
didn't
just
see it.
You got it. No, we missed
it. Oh no,
him.
The one that
wasn't
even close.
It wasn't even close.
Airmailed him.
Yeah.
It was Deshaun was just terrible by his standards.
Good.
But you know what? I think he's gonna be okay. We knew one of two things. I do think he has special game DNA, but this is a classic example of why young quarterbacks, it just doesn't this is why Pat Mahomes could have some issues, although I just don't feel like he's going to. But Pat Mahomes could have some issues in his first playoff start. I know it doesn't feel like he's going to. Lamar Jackson was clearly not going to be ready for this moment against the Chargers offense. He's been doing it with his legs and stuff like that. This was bound to happen. Deshaun, I thought, could have a game. Let me ask you about Deshaun Watson now, okay? He got hurt last year. Smaller sample size. Really incredible inside that small sample size. He had a good year this year. Not a great year, but he had a good year. How do you feel about Deshaun Watson now after year two?
I feel great about him.
A full 16 games as opposed to after year one.
I feel great
six
about
and a half games.
I do. I mean, bad game. And listen, we know he's a big game guy, and he has played well in big games. He didn't play well. That kind of stuff, though, they're showing Deshaun Watson right now. He threw a very poor pass. He was rolling right, and he threw a very poor pass, and he's throwing his arms up in the air at the receiver, making the receiver look bad. And then this quote.
Oh, he mentioned he had communication issues, too, which, to be fair, was it Collinsworth? No, who did the game?
I don't know. I was there. Who did it?
I can't remember. I was not going with my face looking like that, I can promise.
Oh, it was a combination of McDonough, Witten, and...
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, yeah. So Witten mentioned a couple of times that it looked like Deshaun was having issues with... Not issues, but he was not on the same page with D-Hop. And they wondered if D-Hop being out of practice was like they were making... They were showing each other, I thought you were going to do this. I thought it was doing this. And that was probably his communication... Deshaun's got to be careful, though. I didn't know he said that about the offensive line. You don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
No, you take all of it. You take all of it.
We know. Deshaun, you don't have to tell us. We know about your offensive line. We know.
We're familiar with their work. We're absolutely familiar with their work. But I feel great about Deshaun. I do. I mean, Saturday notwithstanding, he did not play well. But... You know what? He's going to progress and progress and progress.
Where do you see him in his... let me ask you this. I would say I'm not inaccurate saying that you and many people, and, you know, I got to say, I was curious, too, about if this is going to turn into a dominant young quarterback immediately.
Yeah.
Did this year temper it for you a little bit? Was it a reality check about how far the it takes a while on the process? It did for me.
Yeah, that said.
I always have to be reminded.
That said, Pat Mahomes. That said. It's you know what?
That's a freak show. We'll see how he does in year two.
But I thought Deshaun was going to be that freak show. I did.
Yeah. Yes.
I
did too.
Is he as good as I thought he was going to be this year? No. Because I thought that after that first seven games, I thought, man, he's going to have a Pat Mahomes season. And he just didn't. But that said, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take 4,000 yards, 26 and 9. I'm going to take those numbers.
26 is fine. In today's NFL, he needs to be up in the 30s, honestly.
No, it would be
I liked is he eliminated a lot of the interceptions. Yeah. I love that.
Yes.
I didn't love the random inaccuracies. And what really bothers me about Deshaun is staying. His post-snap plan has got to be better once things go sideways. He's got, and when I say sideways, like once he recognizes blitz that he didn't see pre-snap, he's got to have the poise to respond better to
it. And they're going to continue to do that. That slot blitz.
No. If you don't show, you can beat it.
Destroyed him.
They're going to keep
going. They're going to keep doing.
That's not the first time the Colts did that to him.
No. Let's get on. The superintendent from Onalaska is here. Is he going to try to say, I told you so? What's up, superintendent from Onalaska?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was just here in my office listening to you guys, and
you don't have an office.
I'm kind of shocked that you guys seem kind of surprised at how inaccurate and how horrible. And I know Deshaun Watson doesn't deserve all the blame, but I mean, for the most part, the offense is horrible out there. And I called you guys. Maybe 2 months ago, and told you guys that the Texans were a flaw, that they weren't what their record said they were. So, but it's to be expected. For the most part, most quarterbacks, their freshman year usually, or the rookie year, shall I say, usually do really, really well, kind of like a Pat Mahomes. And if you look at Dak Prescott, he did really well. But now in their second year, I think a lot of people get more used to him, but for the most part, I was just kind of, as I mentioned previously, to me, just the Deshaun Watson couldn't process quick enough.
It's not the processing. Beat it on Alaska. You already got fired. Lance is right. You don't have an office.
Office are you in?
You've been relieved of your duties because of your thoughts about the African-American quarter. Beat it. We don't need your stuff around it here. It is a little sad.
I'll say this and I'll let it go. Twitter, the whole Lamar Jackson, should he be benched or not benched? You can't even have just a regular football conversation. That's a legitimate conversation. Here's Joe Flacco with years of experience. Here's Lamar playing terribly. You, on one side, you can say, hey, this is Lamar's team. He can bring that. You know, realistically, Joe Flacco wasn't going to bring that offense back. He's not a good enough. You know, I mean, frankly, he's just not talented enough as a passer anymore, if he ever was, to do that. And he had no ability with his legs. Lamar Jackson could at least make plays. But that's a legitimate question to ask. Should that terrible Lamar Jackson be benched in his rookie season for a veteran and Joe Flacco? It doesn't change the fact that Joe Flacco is going to be out and Lamar is your quarterback of the future. And then it turns into subtle racial, are you saying this? Because why are you only saying that? Because he's a black quarterback? No, why can't I say this? Like, Twitter can't just have conversations anymore without people wondering if there's an ulterior motive to every conversation.
Yeah, we got the we'll do the Deshaun on his old line when we come back here on ESPN.
And Steve Smith on Deshaun Watson.
Steve Smith, we got that as well. We got Bob and Jeff. You guys are going to get in here too. But everybody needs some testosterone.
So let me tell you something. I am going to Men's T Clinic. I didn't get to go last week because of my my dental issue. I missed my appointment, so I'll go in today. And what they'll do is they'll probably alter and change and increase my dosage at Men's T Clinic, because one of the things they want to do is keep you at the right level, at the optimal level. And once you get there, you know it, because your body type, and this is kind of strange, after 2 or 3 months, you're going to start to, once you have been taking these treatments, you start to see a completely different you. Your body starts to respond differently, where your workouts matter way more. It's like every workout you have, it's like a multiplier, where your workouts make a bigger difference on your body type. You start to lean down, you start to increase your muscle mass, your lean muscle mass. There is such a difference that having your testosterone at the right level can make. And if you're not there, you're not living your best life. You really aren't. Get back to being the real you. Get your testosterone level checked out. And if it's not where it needs to be, do something about it with my friends over at Men's T Clinic. They made a huge difference for me for 3 years now, and I think they can do the same thing for you. Get your energy level back up and begin to experience life the way you used to live it in your 20s and 30s. It's MensTClinic.com. 4 locations in the Houston area, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, and the Heights. It's MensTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Deshaun, for the first time this season, you appeared really out of sync, especially with throwing a lot of low balls. Any reason why that you can figure out right now without looking at film?
Yeah, I look at the film and, you know, the pressure was there. I couldn't step into my throws. It wasn't where I was, you know, sitting there by myself, you know, with a full pocket. You know, guys was in my face trying to make throws like that. If I can't fully throw any quarterback, not just me, can't step into that throw and, you know, get their full strength with their lower body and get the system step, then, I mean, a lot of balls can be low. So, that was just it, really.
Not really the answer. Not the answer we're looking for. I mean, nowadays, in 2019, Lance, with in this liberal economy, I don't know what that means. In 2019, we have to take the blame for everything. And as the quarterback, you got to there were plenty of times he's out of the pocket and missed throws, or the Ryan Griffin throw just flat out missed. You can't blame. Did he have pressure? Did he have pressure all year? Did he have more pressure than anybody? Yes. All that.
Does he know he played poorly?
Does Bill O'Brien know he played poorly? Bill O'Brien's quote was, he played pretty well. No. I don't know if he believes that. I don't know. You never know what a coach. Coach lies. Coach lies. They lie.
Yeah.
They all lie.
That's part of the job.
I found out being in a college, having a college kid play, coaches lie about everything. Everything.
We're going to air out the family laundry here.
Nothing. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. And they're not going to tell the media, yeah, hey, Deshaun maybe had one of his worst games. He absolutely did. And there's no other way that you can sugarcoat. You can't. And well, you know, and it's unfortunate. But everybody, the defense played like, the defense was crap. Did anybody else feel like, I'd go way back to the very first down on the first drive of the game by the Colts, T.Y. Hilton caught a 10-yard curl.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was short of the first.
Very first pass of the game, wasn't it?
I thought he was short of the first down.
Oh, it was on a third down.
Third down.
Completion.
Third down completion. So it was where third he and caught 10 it, or a third and 11.
He was tackled.
Yes.
I think they thought
it was close.
It was a pretty favorable spot.
I don't know. You know, we say this all the time. The refereeing is so poor. That call in the Bears game, the calls on Chargers? The goal line for the Chargers. I mean, how in the
world? Which Bears call?
The Bears call where he caught it. The ball was ripped. The ball is laying on the ground. And they call it an incomplete pass. Fumble? Yes.
They had an incomplete fumble.
Because the ref picked up the ball. But here's the rule, is that if the recovery is not immediate, clear and immediate, then it continues to be that team's ball.
Because you can't.
It should have been a first down for the Bears right there.
100%.
And they blew the whistle. It should have been a first down for the Bears right there because nobody recovered the football. That was these are rules. And we're making decisions here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of opinion. These are rules that these guys are screwing up. The Derek Watt touchdown. He rolls over into the end zone. The ball is clearly over the line before he gets touched. And yet, no, the next play, they fumble the ball into the end zone and the Ravens return it 102 yards for a score. Then they said, no, he was down or something.
I didn't think he had lost control. I know he had the arm outreached and it looks like it's hovering, but I just felt like the point of the ball was in his hand. He hits the ground because Eric Weddle tripped him up. I didn't take an issue with that one. The Derek Watt one, that looks like a touchdown to me. But I thought he still had control, point of the football.
Did QT have control of the ball?
I felt like no.
I felt like no, too.
I felt like that one could have been overturned. Yes. But it all depends on what the call is. I mean, they don't like... They are really conservative in overturning calls. It
looked like that ball was out of his
hand. I thought it was close enough where they could have sat tight with it. But to me, I thought it was starting to come loose. I thought it was starting to come loose too. So they benefited from that one, obviously. But the officiating is, you know, what's more disappointing is not getting it right. Not getting it right. That Chargers call, that could have swung the whole thing.
Yeah, it really could have.
I mean, that's insane. That could have swung the whole thing.
We have had from the Kevin Durant call to these NFL calls. Honestly, Bird Box could be – you could be putting memes out there, Bird Box memes, throughout. Every game, it seems like now. Every freaking game. Jeff, let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Jeff?
Hey, guys. The question I have, and I kind of threw this out here at the beginning of the year, I thought the Texans should have traded for a veteran O-lineman to prevent the bad habits that Deshaun Watson's clearly forming. That Ryan Griffin pass, he got the yips. He didn't think he had enough time in the pocket when he clearly did. And he can't go through progressions. And with, I want to say Darrell Williams is a free agent. What are your thoughts about signing Darrell Williams instead of drafting an O-lineman necessarily with our first-round pick?
My thoughts aren't great on that. You know what? Here's what I don't want to do. Darrell Williams is a Band-Aid guy. Let me tell you what I believe in. I believe in, and this is one of the reasons I said the Texans were going to be in some trouble when Chris Ballard was hired, because he knows how to build teams, and he does not deviate. At no point, he sent out a big text message to everybody in the organization about, listen, we're not, when they were 1-5, he just said, do not panic. Everything is fine. He goes, we're on pace for what we want to do. It's all about the process. It's not about early results. It's about, are you on in line with your process? How he's big into the process. I believe in the same thing, process. You have to build like you're trying to win a championship. He came in and tried to build like he's won a championship. You know what Darrell Williams is? Darrell Williams is one of those Band-Aid guys. Go draft and build your team. Now, if you have to make one free agent move, Jeff, like you're talking about with Darrell Williams, then maybe so. But Darrell Williams is not a long-term solution at tackle. They have got to go get solutions
draft. Free agents. They got Kellen Mette. They got Zach Fulton. They did pick up guys.
Yeah, but those are
Band-Aids too. So, but he said they didn't pick up any. They did.
No, they did.
And that's another Band-Aid guy that you're looking at.
I think he means like, and see, you know what a dumb move was? Nate Solder for $100 billion, who has no impact on it. That would have been so dumb. I'm glad Brian Gain didn't do it. And I knew right off the bat, based on the free agency and the way the draft was and the way you didn't have a first and second rounder, there was no way you're going to be able to fix offensive line. Yeah. You're just going to have to take your lumps and then address it this next year. But build and grow your own. Build and grow your own.
So a lot of people were upset. Bill O'Brien did say that. I want to build through the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And many people were upset over this as opposed to getting free agents to help this team right now. Many people on Twitter. Now, you got a first, 2 seconds, third. You gave up a fourth. But you got draft picks that can. And we've seen. Let's let Brian Gain do his thing.
Picks.
Because guess what? He did a pretty damn good job with no first or second last year.
Yeah, he did. And they have an idea of what. And see, I know Brian Gain is a guy who has an idea of standards of what they want. Let's let them have some draft picks. Now, four in the first three rounds, let them have their draft picks and see what they do. Because what I don't want to do, the Kellen Mette, that just keeps you viable in the short term. But don't be a credit card spending team where you just go out and try to piecemeal stuff with free agency.
No.
You know, Daryl does that with the Rockets.
You can fill in a hole or two.
Daryl can do that with the Rockets and free agency. But at some point, there's going to be a price to pay there with the Rockets, too.
759 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.